9. St. Catherine's Church, Candlemaker Street, and a warehouse, City of Manchir, Princedom of Coruscant, and Captain Merlin Athrawis's room, Imperial Army Barracks, Michaelburg, Duchy of Eastshire, Kingdom of Chisholm.
So, there you are.
Timon Hoskins twitched, then looked up with a visibly guilty expression. Delores Hoskins stood at the top of the narrow stair in her nightgown, looking down at him, arms folded while the toes of one bare foot tapped ever so gently on the landing. She was a tallish, slender woman, 8 years younger than her husband, with auburn hair just starting to go gray and blue-green eyes. At the moment, those eyes were sternly narrowed, Hoskins noted. He considered, briefly, prevaricating, but after the next best thing to 30 years of marriage, that would have been an exercise in futility. So, since he'd been caught anyway, he decided his best course was to manfully own up to his misdeeds.
"I was discussing this 5 days' sermon with Jaife Leitir."
"Swilling down beer with Jaife Leitir until all hours, don't you mean?" she demanded.
"We might perhaps have partaken of a tankard or two, strictly as a source of desperately needed sustenance while we contemplated weighty matters of theology," he replied with immense dignity, and the corners of her mouth twitched. It was barely a shadow of the broad grin he would normally have seen at this point in their familiar, well-worn exchange, yet his heart eased, a little at least, when he saw it. Father Jaife Leitir was the senior priest at the Church of the Holy Archangels Triumphant in Grey Lizard Square, two parishes over from Hoskins' own St. Catherine's, and the two of them had been friends for many years. Despite the fact that Hoskins was a Bedardist while Leitir was a Pasqualet, they saw eye to eye on quite a few issues, including several they'd both been forbidden to speak about. Which was why Delore's eyes were worried, and she found it so difficult to smile. "Desperately needed sustenance, is it?" she cocked her head, deliberately seeking the reassurance of comforting routine. "Should I assume from the fact that you were forced to resort to liquid sustenance that Mistress Donzai was somehow incapable of providing you and your crony with sandwiches?" Lisbeth Donzai had been the housekeeper in charge of Holy Archangel's Triumphant's rectory even longer than Esmelda Dobbins had held the same post at St. Catherine's. Over the years, she'd become adroit at the care and feeding of Father Jaife, and probably almost as good at bullying him into taking care of himself, as Delores and Mistress Dobbins were at chivying Hoskins into doing the same thing. "As a matter of fact, we did supplement our liquid intake with a wyvern breast sandwich or two," Hoskins acknowledged.
"Good. In that case, perhaps the two of you stayed sober enough to actually get something worthwhile done," his wife observed, and he chuckled as he climbed the stairs and folded her into his arms.
She was stiff for just a moment, and he felt another spasm of sorrow as he recognized the tension which had tightened her muscles. Then she relaxed, leaning her cheek against his chest and putting her arms around him in a tight hug, whose strength said all the things she hadn't allowed herself to voice. He bent over her, tucking the top of her head under his chin and raising his right hand to stroke her hair ever so gently. After so long together, he knew there was no need for him to apologize or explain, that she knew exactly what had impelled him, driven him to the stance he'd taken. She didn't like it. In fact, she'd argued with him when he'd first told her he intended to acknowledge Archbishop Claremont's and Bishop Kaisi's authority. Not because she'd had any great love for Manchir's previous bishop or for Bishop Executor Thomas, because she hadn't. But she had been afraid of where Hoskins' inner anger at the church's corruption was likely to take him. And she'd been more than a little afraid his decision would find him branded a traitor to Coruscant as well as to Mother Church. Yet, despite her concerns, despite her very real fear for the husband she loved, she'd argued neither long nor hard, Perhaps that had been because she'd recognized argument was futile. That, in the end, he was going to do what faith and conscience demanded of him, no matter what. He thought it was more than that, though. Her concern was for his safety, not the product of any rejection of his beliefs, for she shared those beliefs. She might be less passionate than he, more willing to work by increments, rather than confront the whole mass of the church's corruption head-on, but she recognized that corruption. She knew as well as he did what a travesty of God's original intent the church had become. Which didn't make her one bit happier at the thought that he and Jafe Letir, whose reformist zeal was every bit as deep as his own, had been coordinating their sermons for the coming Wednesday. "I'm sorry, love," he murmured into her ear now, and her embrace tightened farther. "I don't mean to distress you, but..."
"But you're a stubborn, determined, passionate, pig-headed lunatic of a bedardist," she interrupted, never lifting her cheek from his chest, and produced a laugh that was only slightly wavery around the edges. She stayed where she was for another moment or two, then leaned back just far enough to rise on her toes and kiss his bearded cheek. "I can't pretend I didn't know that when you proposed, although now that I think about it, the pig-headedness, at least, has probably gotten a bit more pronounced over the last few decades."
"I imagine it has," he said softly, his lively brown eyes warm with affectionate gratitude.
"Oh, I'm sure it has." She looked back at him, gave him one last affectionate squeeze, and then let him go. "I assume that despite your present drink-befuddled condition, you'll want to transcribe your sermon notes before you come to bed?"
"I'm afraid so," he agreed.
"Well, I can't say I'm surprised. And Esmelda left a plate of ham sandwiches in your study. Just in case hunger should threaten to overcome you again, you understand."
"And a tankard of beer to go with it?" he asked hopefully, eyes laughing at her.
"And a pitcher of cold water to go with it," she responded severely. She and I were of the opinion that you'd probably have had sufficient beer while contemplating weighty matters of theology with Jafe.
"Alas, you were probably right," he told her, reaching out to touch her cheek lightly.
"Then go, go," she made shooing motions with both hands. "And don't stay up all night," she admonished, as she started down the stairs once more.